Well, good afternoon. So glad that we can be together this day. Hope that you will be taking your Bibles and turn with us along to the Word of God this afternoon. As we mentioned in your lifeline, we actually are going to push the pause button just for this 1 week for our class for our young Christians. And so we'll resume that next week with all the activities that are going on. We'll push the pause button and just wait until next week to continue on with that. In Matthew, the 21st chapter, after Jesus had cleansed the temple, he had healed a blind and a lame man, as if to show no doubt that he is the Son of God. He had the right to cleanse his Father's house. He had the ability and the authority to cast out and even to be able to heal. When the children came and they saw those things that had transpired in Matthew, the 21st chapter, in verse 14, it says, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant. And they said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?'" Jesus hears the words of children. As they praise God and as they praise and recognize the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, and as those come to him, the scribes and the Pharisees, those who are referred to here really as the chief priests and the scribes, and they're just absolutely indignant. Why, they don't even say anything to the children. You realize that in the midst of this, they don't tell the kids, "You all need to be quiet. You need to stop saying that, because that's not what we believe, and that's not who he is." They look at Jesus and say, "Why are you allowing them to do that? Stop them from doing that." And yet, in the midst of all of that, perhaps there's something to be learned. Jesus' response to the scribes and the priests, to put them in their place, says, "Have you never read?" Essentially, he's asking him, "Have you never read the eighth Psalm? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise." Jesus didn't need to stop the children, because what the children were doing were right. What the words that the children were saying were true. And he needed to be encouraged in what they were saying and how they were saying it even. And as they sang out those words and as they spoke of those things that came from that Psalm, it needed to be words that are spoken and that are sang with all their fervency and with all the determination that they could. I don't know if you've heard or not, but it's VBS week. There's a lot been going on for the preparation of this week. There's a lot that's still to go on. There's a lot that people have put efforts into and put a lot of thought into. I don't know about you, but I hope that you, whether you have or not, but I hope you've read from the Lifeline and noticed the article that we put in there and just simply wrote a few things. And I hope you spend some time taking the opportunity to stop and to look. Maybe you've gone downstairs a few times throughout this past year and you've said, "Oh, everything looks good, everything looks fine." And after a little while, you see all those things are up and you see, well, it's just the way it looks down here. But like I mentioned a week or so ago, when you take all that stuff down, we remove all of that, I basically said, "Boy, the basement looks naked. It looks like there's nothing down here. It doesn't look good at all." And I'm thankful for teachers. I'm thankful for those that go down and put all the effort into. I'm thankful for those who supply those things. I want to say thank you to those who put all the planning in. And like I said in the article, it's not a matter of it's VBS time. And oh yeah, we've done this series a couple of times previously, at least you have. And we're going to take a few old pictures and put them up on the wall. We're going to go back and just kind of throw some things together and put them up there. And that's all. That's good enough and well enough. That's not what happens at all. And I think that's just and that's right. And that's certainly, if we're going to say we're worshiping Almighty God, if we're going to say that what we're trying to do is to teach our children the absolute best, and we want to show them that this is important, and maybe we can make sure that we do the very best we can with it. I want to talk to you a little bit this afternoon in Matthew, the 21st chapter here, and notice that out of the mouths of children and out of the mouths of the words that they sang are words that certainly I think will help us to see how important even VBS is, and how important it is for the children's classes that they are, and how important it is for children to praise God, and how important it is and how that comes about. Because it certainly is appropriate for children to sing praises to God. It's appropriate, and it's completely sure that in this case, the scribes and the priests were upset because it was the children, not just simply because it was the children that were saying this, but simply because of what they were saying. Whatever the case is, whether it's one or whether it's the other, Jesus' response demonstrates that it was appropriate for them to be doing that. His response says that as they cry out these praises to the fact that they believe that these things had to do with the Messiah and had to do with Jesus being the Messiah, their cry that they made was accurate. It was right and it was appropriate for them to be doing that. And he allowed them to do such. They're allowed to shout it out. They're allowed to sing these praises. The word Hosanna that they cried, by the way, is a word that's adopted from the Hebrew, and it originally means to save us, I pray. As you find it in our Old Testament, it is cried out to God, Hosanna, save us, God, save us, I pray that you'll save us. And it had really kind of transferred its meaning in a certain sense to the idea as his declaration of praise. And adding to it, Hosanna, son of David, would mean that they used that phrase to refer to the coming Messiah and that they were praising that very option and that opportunity to happen. Did they really understand what they were saying completely? Perhaps not. Did they really understand or mean what they were saying? Well, maybe not. Maybe they really didn't get what all it would entail. They were children. Maybe they didn't quite understand those words. Did they fully know what those claims would mean? Probably not. But were they right? Absolutely. They were absolutely true, and they were absolutely right. And Hosanna, the son of David, means thanks be to God that there is a Messiah that was coming, and that the one that would come that would do the very things that Jesus was doing would be that very one. We're using this week to focus on our children. We're focusing on them when we say, well, is that right? And that's appropriate. I think exactly it is. Because certainly we need those that will come along and to understand the need to praise God. It's appropriate for our children to learn how to do that and to learn for them to be able to do that and give them that opportunity. It's a great opportunity for them to do that very thing. I think it's a great opportunity for us too. It's a great opportunity for to emphasize those things. Because notice what the scribes and the priests are doing. The scribes and the priests need to hear the kind of praises that the instructions that the children are offering those praises. And too oftentimes, what happens is they miss the point. Can I encourage you something, adults? Don't denigrate or downgrade the songs that our young people and our children sing. They are important songs. They're in songs with important words that mean absolute, perfectly important things. The children offer their praises to God. They sing with their hearts and they sing with all of their effort and they sing those things out. And I think sometimes maybe as grown-ups we say, oh, that's just a kid's song. Or sometimes, oh, that's just a camp song. I'll tell you what, folks, there's some camp songs that are now in the songbook that we use in our pews today. Well, they just used to be just camp songs. I learned them when I was at camp, some of them. But you know what? They're songs of praise. They're songs of thanksgiving. They're songs that say, He's Almighty God. They were songs that talk about the importance of the Messiah. They are songs that talk about the importance and how appropriate it is for young people, for children, for teens, and for even to two-year-olds, to praise Almighty God. I don't know about you, but if you think about some of the songs we'll be singing even this week, oh, be careful, little eyes. How many of us, as we get older and older, how many grown-ups have learned, as we've matured, how important it is to take care of where our eyes look? And to be careful what our eyes are seeing, and be reminded of the profound lessons that we need to be careful what we watch, what we listen to, where we go, and what we do with our hands. That's an important song. It was important last year for us to spend the whole week talking about just simply that concept that is found in that song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. How often do we need to be reminded that the need for us to be reflecting the light of Jesus in the world around us is so essential. for us to realize that it is that very light that's spoken of that is in the very first and the greatest sermon that Jesus has recorded for us from Jesus there in Matthew 5 through 7. How often do we need to be reminded that we're going to shine our lights all around the neighborhood? And we're going to do that because people need to see. And how often perhaps do we need to be reminded if we're not shining it around the neighborhood, then maybe it's not shining very bright at all. Maybe we need to be reminded once and again that I'm going to hold it up till Jesus comes. I'm not going to get ashamed of it. I'm not going to put it out. I'm not going to let Satan diminish my light. And I'm sure not going to hide it under a bushel. Say, all those are just kids' songs and kids' thoughts. No, they're essential thoughts for you and for me. I don't know about what you do and the idea of inviting folks and how sometimes maybe we get overwhelmed even just with that simple invitation. You say, well, you should never be overwhelmed about that. You've done that so many times, right? That's what I tell myself. Just recently I was at a local restaurant and saw a young couple there and just a beautiful little baby about 6 months old, and she was just adorable. She grinned from ear to ear when Daddy held her up in the air and then it tickled her just a little bit. She just laughed. Thought, man, I've got to invite those folks to come. Not just because they're young, not just because they've got a kid, not just because, but it's just important. And so, guess what? I let them walk out of the restaurant. I didn't do it. I had a card in my hand, had it there, I don't know why. Can't tell you why. But I was determined after I walked out, I thought, you know, they're still out here. I'm going to go to the car and I'm just going to invite them. And so I did. And the lady sounded thrilled. Thanks so much for inviting us. We need to hold our lights up. We need to sing, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. And is there any more profound a song than that one? That I need to remember that Jesus loves me and I can know it because it's told in His Word. It's told in the Word of God. And that it doesn't have anything to do about me. It doesn't have anything to do about how good I am. It has to do because of the fact that He is a loving Savior and that He is a loving God. You know, when children cry out in praises to God, it's absolutely appropriate. And we need to encourage it in every way that we can. Let's not denigrate the praises from children. Do they fully know all the time what they're saying yet? Perhaps not. Do they fully understand where those things can lead and the types of sentiments that are in those songs? Probably not, but it's absolutely appropriate. It's absolutely needed. And the scribes and the priests needed to hear what the children were saying and who they were praising. And maybe we can learn some things just as the scribes and the priests needed to as well. It's entirely appropriate for children to praise God. And it's entirely appropriate and certainly absolute to be noticed that where the children learn those things from. Because the children learn their praise from adults, and whether they do praise or whether they don't. You remember what happened earlier in this chapter, in Matthew, the 21st chapter? If you back up and just a little bit before Jesus cleanses the temple, in Matthew chapter 21, it says in verse 8, it says, most of the crowd spread their... Or verse 7, right? Let's go back to verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt and put them on their cloak, and sat on them, and most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and the others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before Him, that followed Him, were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna to the highest! Where in the world did the children got that phrase from? Where in the world did they learn that from? They learned it from the adults. They learned it from those who had seen, as we call it, the triumphal entry. Why Hosanna, Son of David? Why didn't they shout something else? Well, if you look at that triumphal entry, you see why the children were shouting what they were shouting. Because they had heard it spoken by those that they heard that were older than them. And I think we need to understand that that's the way it works. In fact, that's still the way it works today. That's still the way it works for our young people and for our children. They need to hear, adults. They need to hear and see us singing those praises. And even if they're the childish of children's songs, even if they're the campiest of camp songs, I'm making up words, by the way, they need to see us and hear us. Guess what the little ones do, especially the smallest ones, up here in the midst of the pews? They're turning around to see who's singing. They want to look and see, are you singing? Papa, Mama, Mom, Dad, are you singing these songs? They want to see that. Why do you think they want to see that? What's it going to tell them when they see you? With your stern look, an unmoving mouth, it's going to tell them, oh, maybe this isn't so important. Oh, maybe I shouldn't be so excited. Or they're so excited about it, and later they ask, well, why didn't I see you singing these things? Well, you know, whatever they need to know. Maybe what the scribes and the chief priests needed to understand is the way it works is that those words that come from the lips of children, maybe they're the very words of excitement that should come from our lips as well. Maybe they're the very words that the children, as they're watching us and as they're learning from us, maybe we need to ask, what do they see? What do they see from us? What do they see or hear from us? And as they're learning to praise God, are they learning it from us? Will they hear it from us, and will they recognize the songs that we sing, even the songs that are our songs, if you will, to the songs that are officially from the hymnal, from the songbook, the good songbook, right? We need to be very cautious to understand and make sure that they are hearing praises to us, from us to God, and they're learning to look into the Word of God. And they're encouraged to do all of that because they've heard it from us. During our VBS this week with the children, sing out those songs. Sing and encourage them. Don't just simply let the kids sing here in the middle pews and on the front pews. Because you know what we don't have? You know what you wouldn't admonish, or what you wouldn't encourage? If I said, hey, you know, folks, why don't we do this? Let's build the stage out here somewhat. You know, we've got these good kids that can sing. Let's start this children's choir. In fact, we'll get them up here. We'll make the stage place big enough so they can sing to us. Please don't sit in the pews this week and say, we're going to just let the kids sing their songs and they can sing to us. What they need to see and what they need to hear is you singing along with them. That's what they're going to learn from. I think that's where these children in Matthew, the 21st chapter, got to hear that phrase, Hosanna, the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. It's perfectly appropriate for kids to learn that. It's to be noted that they learn it from adults. And maybe it's to be noted just simply that we can provide this week as an example, maybe for others who don't have a very good one. We've invited and we've encouraged. We've encouraged and made it our foundational text in this text, and to see that it really doesn't talk about other children here. It does talk about children who are interested in praising Jesus and praising the things that He's done. And yet, I can't help but think about all the children that are out there who don't have what these children had and even what our children in this locality have. These children had examples to show them how to praise God. Our young people within this local church have people who would show them how to praise God, and they simply walked in the footsteps of those who were leading them, and they were doing the right thing, and it was showing them the right thing to do in the with the parents and the grandparents perhaps even. And yet there's some children, too many children, that just simply don't have someone to show them the right way to go. We've encouraged our kids. Let me encourage them again. Young people, kids, invite a friend. Bring a friend with you this week. Bring them and have them come along, because we've got good things from the Word of God and from God's Word that they can hear about. We've got good things that they should be interested in, and maybe they don't know much about. But we're interested in them. We're interested in you. We're interested in telling them about the Word of God. We're interested to make sure for you to understand and to realize that what we're talking about this week is to be an example. Isn't that our theme? Where did we get that? Where did that concept come from? Well, it came from an older preacher talking to a young preacher in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, as Paul writes to Timothy, he writes to Timothy, in fact, in verse 11, he's telling Timothy, you've got this for me, you tell it to someone else. Verse 11 says, command and teach these things. He says to Timothy, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Be an example, Timothy. You've seen the example in me from Paul to Timothy, and from Timothy it needs to be set to others. Set an example. Folks, we need to set an example because there are too many young people, too many children out there who just simply don't have any good example to follow very much. And they need that. We can provide an example for them. This week can provide an opportunity. It simply can be an opportunity for our children to go out and to tell others, hey, this is a great thing to do. Come, my teacher, she just loves us to death. My teacher, he's a great teacher. He wants to teach us about the Bible and about God's Word. It's a great opportunity to get the message out and invite them. It's a great opportunity to talk to people who have children and say, you know, I know you're interested in your kids. I know you love your children. You know, we love those children too. We'd love for you to come and bring them. We'd love for you to come and we'd invite you to come and be here. In fact, we do have an adult class. And we have some men here who love God, who put all their hearts and their efforts into it. And they're going to teach a lesson from God's Word. And I think it's especially right for us to do that. All of us. And yet I can't help but think that as Jesus looked at the crowds and even as we sing the songs that we sing, you know, Jesus in Matthew the 9th chapter in verses 36 through 38 looked at the crowds that followed after him. And what did he see? Jesus saw the crowds, and as he looked at them and as he noted them, he says when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." We sang a song this afternoon, "I Just Want to Be a Sheep." There is a sense that we just should want to be sheep. We should want to be those who are just simply willing to follow the Master Shepherd wherever He leads us. We're willing to follow Him, and wherever He goes, whichever direction He goes, we're going to go. But there's another sense in which we don't want to be sheep. They're just kind of wandering around out there, wondering where to go and what to do, and maybe we've gotten lost from the flock and we're just not even sure where to go. There's a whole lot of people in our world just wandering around out there, and they're not sure what to do with their lives. They're not sure what their lives are all about and what good they are and what they're going to accomplish with them. Look at the crowds in your workplace. Look at the crowds at the ball field. Look at the crowds that you find in the restaurants sometimes. And you'll see people that just simply wandering around. Do we have the compassion for them? Do we have the compassion and the desire to just simply to, maybe to simply to shout out and say, "Let me tell you about the Son of David. He is Hosanna. He is the one to be praised. And He's the one that we can find the best example in." We're going to talk about His example this week. And we're going to try to be the best example we can. It's right and it's appropriate for children to cry out and to praise Almighty God. Let's not denigrate those songs in any way. The scribes and the priests had missed the point. Get on to those children. Tell them to hush. Tell them to quit saying that. Whether it was because of what they were saying or just because they were crying out at all, I don't know. But this week will be a week to learn. It will be a week to be a good example ourselves to our young people, to our children, and to help them to learn to be examples to others as well. Let's set the example for them. Let's provide the opportunity to bring those who don't have a very good example. Let's make the opportunity and provide the example to tell others about the good news about Jesus Christ. Well, let's make sure that we make every effort to make this week all that it can be. I think sometimes we can get distracted by times like this, maybe distracted about some minimal things. I can know congregations sometimes say, "Oh, we don't want to call a vacation by the way." It's not, well, I'll tell you what, it's not a vacation. We're not taking a vacation for the Word of God. I know we're not. We're talking about too much. It's pasted too many different places, and it's going to be out too many times and talked about all over the place this week. We're not taking a vacation from God. We're not taking a vacation from God's Word. That's not the problem in any way. "Oh, we don't want to sing that." I'm not sure that kid's song really gives the right emphasis, the right focus where. Well, probably there's some songs that have fell the wrong direction in their things. I'll tell you what, I've sang some songs in a songbook or two that I thought, I'm not sure how accurately, biblically accurate that is. Well,
can focus on some things and maybe get the focus off the right things. Be an example. Be an example of finding people that need and a good example. Be an example of showing your young people and your children and your grandchildren of what it is to be excited about Jesus and excited about praising God. Be an example to others about what it is to serve Almighty God. You're here this afternoon and need to respond to the gospel call of salvation. If you need to come and have us to pray with you and for you, maybe just simply to encourage you. Maybe you need to just come and we need to sit down and talk sometime. You need us to help you in any way we can. If there's any way we can do that to assist you even this afternoon.